darf es etwas mehr Blick sein. Für dich und alle Freunde. Und eine eigene Strandvilla.
Jetzt im Euro-Jackpot. Rund 40 Millionen Euro. Das Leben könnte so Jackpot sein. Mit Euro-Jackpot. In jeder Lotto-Annahmestelle und auf lottobayern.de. Lotto Bayern. Nimm dein Glück in die Hand.
Spielteilnahme ab 18. Chance auf den Höchstgewinn 1 zu 140 Millionen. Glücksspiel kann süchtig machen. Hilfe unter bzga.de.
Darf es etwas mehr Blick sein? Für dich und alle Freunde. Und eine eigene Strandvilla.
Jetzt im Euro-Jackpot. Rund 40 Millionen Euro. Das Leben könnte so Jackpot sein. Mit Euro-Jackpot. In jeder Lotto-Annahmestelle und auf lottobayern.de. Lotto Bayern. Nimm dein Glück in die Hand.
Spielteilnahme ab 18. Chance auf den Höchstgewinn 1 zu 140 Millionen. Glücksspiel kann süchtig machen. Hilfe unter bzga.de.
I could hear Clara's voice floating through the wall. My little sister was across the hallway in Mum's room, and even though she wasn't speaking loudly, I caught every word. The walls in our house are thin. Most of the time, I wish they weren't. Mum, Mum, there's something in my cupboard. I tensed under my duvet and shifted position. The bedroom around me was all shades of black and grey. The only light came from the glow-in-the-dark stickers I've had blue-tacked to my ceiling since I was little. The house was quiet. I thought I could hear a faint rustling sound from Mum's room, the noise of bodies shifting under beds. But I couldn't make out a voice. I couldn't hear any voice at first. Then, after a few seconds of silence, I heard Kevin. "What the hell are you on about? Go back to bed, Clara." Kevin was Mum's new boyfriend, the latest in a line that stretches back to the day our dad moved out. He's been living with us for about a month now, and every time I think of him sleeping in my parents' room, I feel sort of sick. I didn't feel sick right then, though, because I heard something in Kevin's voice I didn't like. Anger. "I can't go back in." Clara's voice was a mosquito whine floating through the walls. The sound of it made me flinch. Not because I found it annoying, but because I could imagine the way Kevin's face would be screwing up as he listened to it. The way his little pug nose would be wrinkled in the darkness of Mum's room, teeth clenching like a dog preparing to bite. And if he'd been drinking. "Clara, go back to bed, now." I tried to gauge Kevin's state from the way he spoke. I couldn't be sure, but he didn't sound drunk to me. Only tired and ticked off. That was good, but if my little sister carried on like this, it wouldn't matter. And she didn't seem even slightly put off by the tension in his voice. "But I can't go back. I told you, the thing in my cupboard will get me."
"There's nothing in your cupboard. Leave me and your mum alone."
"There is something. There's a monkey in there. I saw it." "There's a monkey in there." The weirdness of that statement made me forget my fear for a second. A monkey was a new one for Clara. She's been obsessed with a cupboard in her room ever since she started sleeping by herself. And she's told us all about the weird sounds she heard and the shapes she's seen in there at night. But I've never heard her mention a monkey before. Mum and Kevin must have been confused too, because for a moment, there was only silence. Then I heard the rustling of sheets and what sounded like low whispers. Angry whispers. A moment later, Kevin's ragged voice punctured the silence.
"Clara, enough. There's nothing in your room, but if you don't leave me and your mum alone, right now, I'll give you a reason to be frightened."
Sometimes, I think about killing Kevin. I fantasize about it. Tying a wire to the top of the stairs like they do in spy films, then watching him tumble down to break his neck at the bottom. Putting rat poison in his tea, smothering him in his sleep. Anything. Anything to get rid of him. Kevin's one of those short, stocky guys with bull shoulders and no neck. Thick arms and a pot belly. used to lift a lot of weights in the gym. But now, the only thing he lifts are cans of beer. Wine too. Whatever he can get his fat fingers on. The first week he was living with us, he didn't touch a drop of alcohol. Told Mum he didn't like the stuff anymore. That it wasn't for him. I was in the downstairs bathroom, and they were in the lounge, but I heard him say it. Like I said, the walls in our house are thin. It didn't last. A few days later, I got back from a friend's house and found the two of them laughing in front of the TV, an open bottle of red in front of them. Two glasses. I tried to sneak by without saying goodnight, but Kevin heard me, yelled my name in a voice that was half slurred, and when I ignored him and carried on up the stairs, I heard him telling Mom, loud enough so that I could hear him, that he thought I was a rude kid, that I didn't have any manners, that sometimes, when I ignored him or gave him one of my looks, he got an urge to teach me some. The first time he hit me was less than a week later. I was watching a movie in the lounge with Clara when Kevin stumbled in, stinking of beer. He grabbed the remote from the table and changed the channel. Clara protested. He yelled at her, and when I told him he couldn't speak to my sister like that, he punched me in the stomach, winded me so bad I thought I'd throw up. It was that night in bed, as I lay looking at the bruise blooming on my stomach like a purple flower, that the fantasies of killing him started. You know, you can't keep waking Mum and Kevin up at night, right? I was in Clara's bedroom, the day after she told them about the monkey, watching her scribble on a piece of A4 paper with her crayons. Dying winter sunlight streamed through the window, bathing my 7-year-old sister in a ready golden glow. She had her head down, face squinted in concentration as she drew. Didn't even look up when I spoke. Clara? Hmm? Did you hear me? Yeah, I heard you. Hey, Jamie. I don't like Kevin much. She said it without missing a beat. The white paper in front of her was a mess of colours. She clutched the purple crayon in a pudgy right fist, shading so quickly I thought the thing might snap in her hand. Yeah, I don't like him much either. He hurt Mummy. Eh? I said, he hurt Mummy. I felt something cold shift in my stomach. What do you mean he hurt Mummy, Clara? When? Last night. When I went to their room, he was on top of her. He had his hands around her neck. Clara finally looked up at me. Her blue eyes were large in her face. She lifted her hand, the one not holding the crayon, and touched the throat with it. He was hurting her here, Jamie. I felt cold all over. Cold and ill. For a moment, another daydream about killing Kevin flashed across my mind. I imagined going down into the kitchen and picking up the biggest knife I could find, then waiting behind the front door with it, cutting him when he came in from work. I pictured the blood gushing from the cut in his neck, the look of shock on his fat, puggy face. I didn't feel a single hint of shame when these images passed my mind either, only relief. I'm going to kill him. I didn't realize I'd spoken out loud until Clara frowned at me. I'm going to kill him if he hurts Mom, Clara. No, Jamie. My sister stopped drawing and looked up at me again, solemnly. She shook her head back and forth. You can't kill him, but the monkey might get him. Clara shifted on the carpet. Her shadow stretched away from where she sat, long and jagged in the rusty sunlight. It stretched across the carpet, to the far end of her room, to the closed door of her cupboard. Clara glanced down at the drawing in front of her, then put the purple crayon back on the carpet. She picked up the drawing and held it out to me. See, Jamie? I drew him. Although my mind was elsewhere, I stared at the paper in Clara's hands. Her drawing covered almost the entire A4 sheet. In the middle of the page stood a crudely sketched cupboard door in brown crayon. The door was open, and Clara had used a black crayon to colour the inside of it dark. It stood out on the white page like an eye. The monkey stood to the right of it. I say monkey, but it looked more like a giant stick man. Long arms and legs, and taller than the door it stood next to. Clara had used the purple crayon to sketch it the colour of the late evening sky. Talons jutted from its hands and feet like knives. The cupboard in my room goes to Narnia, Clara whispered after a moment. Like in that story with the big lion. It opens every night when my clock says 3 a.m, and sometimes I can see stuff in there, Jamie. Stars, like the ones in our sky at night. A huge green moon. And the last few nights, the monkeys come out of the cupboard and visited me. I didn't like the monkey at first, because he looked scary. But now I think he's okay. That's great, Clara, I said, only half listening. My eyes were still staring at the drawing in Clara's hands. But I wasn't really looking at that either. I was thinking about Kevin. Thinking about the way he'd punched me in the stomach that time. And how the breath had been sucked out of me. Thinking of all the times he'd cuffed me around the head since. The stench of stale beer pouring from his mouth. Thinking about what Clara had just told me she'd seen him doing to Mum when she'd gone to their room last night. I see him when I sleep too. Clara's voice droned on in the background, bright and cheerful. The monkey. I see him, and I see the whole big, wide world behind the cupboard door. I've been dreaming about it for ages, Jamie, but I only saw it in my room for real the last few weeks. I lifted a hand and rubbed my eyes, felt a headache beginning to form in the back of my skull. I'm going to go to my room for a bit and lie down, Clara, I said after a moment. I don't feel great. Jamie, take this. Clara held a drawing out towards me. I drew it for you. I took the drawing without saying anything and turned to leave. As I did, I caught a final glimpse of the door to Clara's bedroom cupboard, still and silent, at the far end of her room. In the dying afternoon sunlight, its wood was the colour of blood. 11:30 p.m. I sat up in my bed, listening to the house creaking around me, staring at Clara's drawing in the soft glow of my bedside lamp. The thing was way more detailed up close than it had seemed earlier. I'd stuffed it into my pocket after leaving Clara's room, and I'd only remembered it again when I was getting ready for bed. I'd felt the paper scrunching in my jeans as I took them off. The thing wasn't bad for a 7-year-old. Not bad at all. From a distance, when Clara first held it out to me, I'd only noticed the blocky colours of the brown door and the purple stick figure. But in the light from my bedroom lamp, I saw stuff I'd missed before. Little details, like the way Clara had textured the wood of her open cupboard door, snaking little hairline cracks through it to give it the impression of age. Or like the tiny dots of white, which I took to be stars, that she had added to the cupboard's black interior. And then there was the monkey. The giant, purple monkey, standing beside the open door. That was what stood out to me the most. Clara had sketched grey lines along its purple arms and chest, giving the impression of sinewy muscle hiding beneath the fur. She'd added tiny droplets of red crayon to the tips of its claws too, as though the thing was fresh from a kill. But its face was what drew my eye the most. Its ugly, twisted face. Even though that face was crudely drawn, Clara had somehow made the thing look kind of scary. Fangs curved from a gaping mouth. Its eyes were giant black circles. Clara hadn't added pupils to those eyes, giving them the look of twin holes that were far too big for the face they stared out from. When I looked at the monkey's face for too long, my skin started to itch.
If I could turn into a creature like that, I thought, the first thing I'd do would be to make Kevin leave. And if he wouldn't do that, tear out his throat. I drifted to sleep with a picture clutched against my chest, wondering if anyone had ever wished for something so hard they'd made it real. I woke up to the sound of voices, soft voices through the wall. I rolled over in bed and touched my phone, lighting up the screen. 2:55 a.m. I half sat up in the darkness of my room, straining my ears to hear who was speaking. But somewhere deep down, I already knew.
"It is, Mom. It's in my cupboard."
Clara's voice was the same high-pitched whine it had been the night before. I could hear her clearly through the wall.
"It's bashing around in there, Mum. Don't let it get me."
Mum whispered something back, but her voice was too low for me to make out the words. It sounded hurried and urgent. I thought I heard the words "Kevin" and "wake up," but I couldn't be sure.
"Mum, please. Can't I just sleep in here with you? I don't want to go..."
What the hell is going on? Kevin's gruff voice cut through Kara's whine. I tensed. "Didn't I damn well tell you not to keep waking us up?" Kevin's voice was slurred, and not only with tiredness. He'd been drinking. I could tell from the way he was only half forming his words. A moment later, I heard the creak of his body shifting on the bed and my mom's voice, low and panicked. Kevin's reply cut through it. "No, I'm sick of it. Sick to death. You're too easy on these kids. No, stay there. I'm going to deal with this now. You've had your chance." I heard the bed creaking and Kevin grunting, and then a noise that made my stomach turn. A short, hard slap. As I threw the duvet covers back and sat him in bed, I heard Clara start to cry. "Right, you're coming with me, you little turd. I'm going to show you there's nothing in this damn cupboard, and then you're going to sleep in it, you hear me?" Clara's crying mingled with the hurried sounds of footsteps. I heard Kevin's feet stomping across the floorboards, then a door being thrown back. By this point, I was on my feet and tugging on my pajama buttons, my heart beating sickly in my chest. I heard the door of Clara's room being thrown open and decided to skip my t-shirt. Instead, I ran across my carpet, the plastic stars on my ceiling lighting the way, and burst out onto the landing. Mum's room was on the right, the door still half open, but I only glanced at that for a second. It sounded as though Kevin had slapped Mum, which was bad, but the crying sounds being made by my sister were worse. I sprinted in the direction of her room, running for the pool of light which was now spilling out onto the landing. But when I made it to the doorway, I froze. Kevin and Clara were at the far end of her bedroom, over by the cupboard. Tears and snot streaked down my sister's face. Her Winnie the Pooh pajamas hung off her tiny body, making her look impossibly small and fragile. Kevin towered over her. He had her gripped by the hair in one hand, while he fumbled for the cupboard door with the other. Although Kevin was facing away from me, I could tell how drunk he was by the way he kept swaying on the spot. He couldn't stand up straight. Now and again, he'd stumble to one side as he struggled to grip the cupboard's doorknob, and I realized that if he fell, he might easily bring my sister down with him, maybe even crush her. "Let's go." The words were out of my mouth before I even knew what I was going to speak. Not loud enough to be a shout, but they carried. Kevin's free hand had finally found the doorknob, but now he paused with it there. At the same time, Clara suddenly screamed and kicked out at him, catching him in the leg with her foot. Kevin barely seemed to feel it. He grunted and shoved my little sister in the side of the head. She fell backwards and went sprawling on the floor. Kevin looked down at her for a moment,
then turned slowly towards the sound of my voice. He swayed on the spot, but kept his hands on the doorknob, holding it for balance.
"Well, well, if it isn't the big man."
Kevin stared at me through bloodshot eyes, his lip pulled up from his teeth with a half grin.
"Think you're the man of the house now that Daddy's left, is that it?
If you touch my sister again, I'll kill you."
I was speaking without thinking, blood and heat pounding in my face. Adrenaline ran through me like fire. Right then, I didn't even feel scared, only angrier than I'd ever felt before in my life. A smile disappeared from Kevin's face. For a moment, he only frowned, as though he'd forgotten where he was. Then, his eyes refocused on mine, and his lips thinned to a slit.
"Don't you dare speak to me like that."
He took a stumbling step in my direction.
"It's about time I taught you some proper manners."
Kevin took another step, and two things happened at once. The first was that the cupboard door swung open behind him. Kevin's hand had still been on the knob, and he'd forgotten to let go of it when he moved. It opened behind him on silent hinges, a dark hole in the brightness of my sister's room. A second later, the smell hit. It struck me in a wave that almost made me stumble back. Thinking back to that moment now, I still don't know how best to describe the pungent scent that came pouring from the cupboard. How to really do it justice. It was like all the worst things and all the best things I'd ever smelt before, somehow rolled together in one. 1,000 different notes in one wave. A cloying aroma of flowers with an undercurrent of animal feed. Perfume coating dog hair. The tang of fresh soil lightly covering a dead body. All of those smells hit me at the same time, filling my head and making it difficult to think. But they didn't make it difficult to see. Oh no. The smells didn't stop me from seeing what lay on the far side of the cupboard door. That image has been imprinted on my mind ever since, and likely will be until the day I die. I don't think I'll ever be able to unsee it. As Kevin took another stumbling step towards me, I had a clear view of the open cupboard behind him. The darkness inside of it was far too thick. That was the first thing I remember thinking, that it didn't make sense for the cupboard's interior to be as black as it was. That thought was shoved from my mind a split second later though, when I noticed the pinpricks of light hanging in the blackness. Lights like tiny jewels. There was just enough time for another thought to shoot through my mind that those lights looked like stars, before a huge shape shifted inside the cupboard and blocked them out. It was like the shadow of a cloud passing across a night sky. Kevin paused. He was 2 feet away from the cupboard now, swaying on his feet, eyes still half focused on mine. For a moment, his forehead creased into a frown, as though he was trying to remember something he'd forgotten. Maybe he'd heard a sound behind him, or caught a whiff of the stench coming from the cupboard. Either way, it was too late by then. As his head half turned in the direction of the cupboard's open doorway, the creature emerged from the blackness behind it. It didn't look anything like a monkey, but it did look something like Clara's drawing. Just a little. It came through the door in a half crouch, and when it stood up, its muscled shoulders were higher than Kevin's head. Its own head towered above him, twisted fangs packed tight together in a cluster of yellowing bone. Lines of drool dripped from its teeth in thick runnels. It didn't have a nose, exactly. Only twin nostrils that flared with whatever smells it detected in the room. At least, I guessed it was operating on smell, because the thing didn't have any eyes. That was the bit my sister's drawing had captured best of all. In the place of where its eyes should have been, were nothing but two gaping holes. two craters that looked as though they'd been gouged straight into the thing's purple flesh. The creature from the cupboard took a giant step into the room, and Kevin finally caught sight of it. He was half turned around by then, and I could only see part of his face. But that was all I needed to see. In his final moments, I saw Kevin's puggy eyes widen with a look of stunned terror. I saw his mouth fall open as if he were about to make a sound. But before he had a chance, the creature sank its fangs into his neck. Kevin didn't even get out a cry for help. He barely made a noise. One moment he was standing there, the next the creature was clamped onto him like a dog worrying a pheasant. The only sound that came out of him was a muffled gurgling, which grew fainter the more the purple thing worked away at his throat. Kevin shook in its mouth like a doll. He wasn't going anywhere, but the creature had circled its long arms around his back anyway, just to make sure. Claws like knives dug into Kevin's skin. Blood pattered onto my sister's bedroom carpet. I felt my eyes begin to blur, and a second later, I leaned forward and threw up. The adrenaline was still burning inside me like an engine, only now, it felt like terror rather than anger that was driving it. I retched a couple more times, then spat bile onto the floor. By the time my eyes had cleared and I could look up again, Kevin and the creature were gone. He's been missing for a few days now. Missing. I use that word because that's what the police are calling it, even though I know the truth. Kevin's gone for good. The thought doesn't make me feel bad in the slightest. Not at all. Like the daydreams I used to have about killing him, it only brings relief. I felt no guilt when the creature attacked him, and I felt no guilt later when I watched my mom scrub his blood off the carpet. I felt nothing when she lied to the police, and felt nothing when I nodded right along with the story she'd made up. The story about how they'd had an argument, and Kevin had stormed off drunk into the night, disappeared into the darkness, and never come back. I know it isn't healthy to feel the way I feel. I know it's not right. Sometimes, when I wake in the darkness of my room from some half-remembered nightmare, I've been having a lot of those lately. I worry that I might be broken inside. That maybe Kevin took a part of me with him when he disappeared through the cupboard doorway. A part I'll never get back. But then I tell myself that at least he can't take anything else from us. And that makes me feel a little better. It helps. Spending time with Clara helps too. Clara and her drawings. She's been drawing a lot since that night Kevin disappeared. She sits on a room after school, cross-legged in the fading orange sunlight, and she scribbles until her crayons are worn down to the nub. White paper coated with maps of colour, brightly smudged landscapes. I've seen quite a few of the drawings. Clara's always happy to show them to me. Sometimes I'll sit in a room with her, and I'll skim through the piles of pages while the light outside fades from red to purple. Some of the drawings I struggle to look at. There are a few of the creature that killed Kevin, for instance, that are just too much for me. There's one in particular, one which shows the thing looming over a body, half-eaten stickman with crosses for eyes that made my hands shake so badly I put the paper down to catch my breath. I had to put the paper down and catch my breath when I saw it. I shoved that picture to one side, and I haven't looked at it again since. I don't plan to. But there are others I like to look at. Others I've looked at way more than once. The things Clara draws are like the smells that come pouring out of the cupboard doorway the night Kevin was taken. Good and bad. Not just the most horrible things you can imagine, but also the most beautiful. Clara lets me take my favourites back to my room. And last night, I found myself looking at them for hours in the light from my bedside lamp, looking at them with wonder. A picture of a giant green moon hanging over a field of blood-coloured stalks. Another of a narrow track winding through towering grey trees and one my little sister drew only yesterday. The one I like most so far, that shows hundreds of tiny stars winking above a churning maroon sea. I look at those pictures and then sink back under my pillow. And when I shut my eyes, I dream of stepping through my sister's cupboard and going someplace new. I forget all about Kevin. I dream of lapping waves and a sky so full of diamonds, it shimmers.
Darf's etwas mehr Blick sein? Für dich und alle Freunde. Und eine eigene Strandvilla.
Jetzt im Euro-Jackpot. Rund 40 Millionen Euro. Das Leben könnte so Jackpot sein. Mit Euro-Jackpot. In jeder Lotto-Annahmestelle und auf lottobayern.de. Lotto Bayern. Nimm dein Glück in die Hand.
Spielteilnahme ab 18. Chance auf den Höchstgewinn 1 zu 140 Millionen. Glücksspiel kann süchtig machen. Hilfe unter bzga.de.
Wünschst du dir jemanden, der dich versteht wie kein anderer? Jemand, der deine Wünsche wahr werden lässt und mit dir das schönste Abenteuer deines Lebens erleben möchte? Die Commerce-Plattform Shopify revolutioniert Millionen von Unternehmen weltweit. Mit Shopify richtest du im Nu deinen Online-Shop ein, ganz ohne Programmier- oder Designkenntnisse. Dank der effizienten Einrichtung und intuitiven Social-Media- und Online-Marketplace-Integration kannst du über Instagram, eBay und Co. werben und verkaufen. Neue Zielgruppen zu erreichen war noch nie so einfach. Shopify bietet auf einer einzigen sicheren Plattform alle Tools, um dein Online-Business aufzubauen. Kostenlos testen und dein Business der Welt präsentieren. Shopify.de/try besuchen. Einfach Shopify.de/try eingeben und loslegen. Made for Germany. Powered by Shopify.